Hello. Hello. All righty. You know how sometimes in the opening I always say, I don't know why I'm nervous. I thought about it later. I'm not nervous. I'm anxious. That's a better word. I'm anxious to get, you know, I want to thank this person. I want to mention this. Because once that's gone, it's sort of, you know, a little more freeform the rest of the show. So it's more anxious. Do you feel better now that I'm not nervous, but I'm anxious? Secondly, somebody, they took like a lot of stuff that I've said and they edited it together with some, with a beat behind it. We played it on the show. We just couldn't find the person who sent it. So you know who you are. So drop me an email and let me know. Somebody said, wrote me an email. I said I would address it on the next podcast. So I'm going to address it right here. Maybe sometimes we should have somebody on the show with the opposing view. You know, because we really don't. And, you know, I thought about that, but I think most of the time I'd rather just take opposing views from emails. And again, like, I know they're not there to go back and forth and everything, but I don't know. It's good food for thought, and I'm sure we'll do something like it down the road. But overall, you know, you say, well, we're just preaching to the choir most of the time. And, yeah, sometimes it's fun to do that. You still hear someone give their opinion from another view. Another way, it still gives you, for I always say when you're trying to fight the fight and somebody else says something clean, it helps you fight the fight. So preaching to the choir is fun, but we might do it with an opposing view. Here's something I definitely want. Yeah, I'm going to deal with it on the opening. It's not a big deal. It was from I'm over prefacing that this email came from a very nice person. Her name is TZVI. The reason I want to over preface it was from a very nice person, very educated, very intelligent, very kind email. And the reason I'm prefacing that is because even though I'm acknowledging that, it still perplexes me when, and it is what it is, that because we're not in the same room, you're not able to say like somebody says something and you're not able to go, oh, no, of course. And then, and get right back on track. This person was agreeing with me, the brilliance of children, and it said, you know, children represent the opposite of the experts that you so often want us to pay attention to. Now, I don't think it's one against the other. Do we listen to, and when I say experts, now I'm starting to think, I wonder when people go, what does he mean experts? Most people know, but I mean people that come to their decisions based not on fear and not on, they just come to their opinions based on knowledge. Those type of experts. So if there was someone going, I don't know if an interracial couple has a child, you know, how will it, because that was, you know, 30 years ago, people said stuff like that, they probably still do. And, you know, an expert will approach it from, hey, if two women have a child, or two men, how will that child grow up? What will happen to him in school? And then they proceed to make opinions based on fear and misinformation. An expert will base his information on facts and knowledge. Therefore, if you brought your child to a reputable therapist, he would basically be the equivalent of disbarred if he told your child that being gay was an illness or a sickness. That type of expert. And those experts would agree that children are brilliant and that we can learn so much from them. So I don't think it's one versus the other. I think an expert in that area would acknowledge children for being so open-minded and you know, not judgmental. Now, of course, when it comes to parenting, you know, there's things we teach our children. But and then there's things they teach us if we would just watch. So anyway, there you go. There's that. Does that make any sense? Of course it does. I change it in the middle, be more positive. Does that make sense? Of course. I don't know why. When I read it, it was like, children represent the opposite of the experts you so often want us to pay attention to. I'm curious, when she's at her house listening, does she think, why does Todd want us to pay attention to experts? You know, because unless you're, you know, the bottom line is, if you go to A lot of family counselors and family therapists, unless you go to a bad one, they're really great at bringing clarity to things and helping uncover things and figure people out. This is what they do. Are there quacks? Of course there are. But there's ear doctors that are bad. That doesn't mean you just don't go to an ear doctor. You go, yeah, I went to an ear doctor. He was bad. Well, what are you going to do now? Find a good fucking ear doctor. And that's the same way with a therapist. A great therapist, especially when they have street smarts mixed in with what they learned in their schooling. I mean, if you want to go to therapy, look, I know I'm going off on a tangent here. How long is this? Some therapy, I agree. It depends how deep-seated your problems are. It can take a while to untangle them. But if you really want to go to therapy and progress and move and you go in there honest, you can do a lot of good things fairly quickly. So there you go. And by the way, I think this has more validity knowing that it's coming from someone that the majority of their life hasn't been in therapy. It's not like I go to therapy. Not that I'm saying it's bad if you do, but, you know, if I was in therapy 5 days a week for the last 20 years, you could be like, yeah, what's it doing for Todd? I'm somebody that proves you can go in there, clean some things up. I've done it with my family. I've done it in relationships. And like I've said in the past, take a 3-hour session and then Dr. Ebert in Philadelphia, who saw our family, would at the end of a 3-hour session go, well, I'll see you guys in 2 years. So anyway, all right, enjoy the show today. Grandma, well, he's a loose cannon, all right? I can't control him. He goes off on a tangent, which I agree with most of the time, all the time. It's a 2-part show. Get ready. Brace yourself for for the ending of it. And part two, well, they're both funny, but there were some parts in part two where I was going to bang a hole in the chair. You can hear me hitting it. All right, everybody. You know what to do, right? Okay. Bye. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm going to get right now. We'll talk. Remind me to talk about when you reap the benefits of someone's meticulousness, you can't just complain when it isn't beneficial to you. You know what I mean? Well, let's talk about it now. Our Graham Elwood is our guest. Hello, Graham. Bobby Miyamoto is going to be our guest the week after next, but I asked him if he would just stop by this week because, you know, I like to have someone riding shotgun with me.
Hey, Todd.
All right. Not now. But Bobby, the week after next, because next week there is no show. This is a double show today.
Oh, bam.
Oy, Jesus. Oy, boy. Oy. So next week is a double show. This week is a double show, and then we're going to break it in two somewhere. We are going to break it, because that's a lot of pressure to put on the listeners. Where do we break it? We ended up listening to the whole thing. This show is like a bag of goddamn Coke. And people are like, I go, hey.
I got to cover it up with the smell of coffee?
Wait.
That's what drug smugglers do, so dogs sniff.
Oh, is that what they do? But they don't realize it now that they teach the dogs to sniff coffee. So they can't let them near like a Starbucks or something. That was like, is that what I'm in for?
Oh, this is going to be a long double podcast. Oh, boy.
And I knew it was deserving of that.
Yeah.
Oh, they can't let him do it. Oh, boy. You're not going to lie to me. Oh, no. Boy. Todd, I think you're funny, but oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you know? So Bobby is going to be the week after next.
I'm looking for
Bobby? Bobby, just not now. Bobby Miyamoto. I don't know if I want to do that bit the whole time. It seems too mean. You doesn't it?
Well, I was Bob, we're in the middle of an interview.
Yeah. Bob. All right. So Aristotle's here. Aristotle's here, and then young Jake is running the board tonight. Chris,
these guys don't have these aren't their real names. What's a real name?
No.
Aristotle's not a real name.
It does seem like that.
Come on.
Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
Oh, yeah. All right, what's your name? Dave, Seth, what is it? Aristotle. Enough with the Hollywood bullshit. You just come from a goddamn yoga class. What the fuck's your real name? Hey, look at me. I want to know your real name.
All right, hold on. So then Aristotle is there. I think you're going to be our guy. I like having you here. You're a good energy. Don't ever wear a tank top again. Last week you wore a tank top.
Jesus.
Whew. And then Bobby will be the week after next.
Do you mind if I make myself easy?
Oh, my God. We're in the middle of an interview with a professional.
And a kid who's got a made-up name.
And then the band's here. Let's start. We're gonna do a cold opening, but we want to go big. Uh-huh. I'm very excited to hear. By the way, to George Carlin, the band's here a lot, but they're not here always. I wanted them here for you.
What's your brother's name? Socrates? What the fuck? I'm going to do this all goddamn day?
Yeah, come on. What the fuck?
I want to sit next to a guy with a real name. I already got a Miyamoto to my left. Now I'm just becoming some old racist guy. I got a Chinaman on my left.
Sorry. I always go that
way. Hey, when he says, let's do a Rickles S thing. When he says he has a Chinaman on his left, do the bing, 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 bing. And then here's... Now let's do it. Here's what Rickles did. Something equivalent to this. You say it again. Do your whole line all over again.
That's bad enough. I got this kid with a made-up name named Aristotle. I got a Chinaman to my left.
That was good. Was that worth losing the job for? He did that with Beethoven. He goes to his son. He goes, what are you, Beethoven? And it's all planned out, which is great. He goes, bum, bum. He goes, bum, bum, bum. Whatever Beethoven did. I don't know what the fuck he did. Bum, 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 bum. And by the way, I take this brilliant musician and I narrow it down to I don't know what the fuck he did.
Yeah, what's that Beethoven asshole, honey? Yeah. Running around. Who's his opening act? This fuck Aristotle?
Yeah.
He's running around.
This is a person.
You'd never play Vegas. Beethoven.
Ladies.
You'd never get booked in Vegas, kid.
All right. So, Grandma Elwood is our guest. Grandma, I was very excited you're going to be here. And we're going to play you in, then we'll do a cold opening. I don't know what the fuck. And then we'll get sillier and we'll do what we want. It's going to be fun with you. I'm very excited you're here. Like I said, I don't have the band every week. I wanted them for you. So guys, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Graham Elwood is our guest. Put your phone away, Graham, and soak this. Oh, you're taking a picture. Shut the fuck up, Todd. Graham Elwood, ladies and gentlemen. You ready? Watch this, Graham. Get that camera on me. Watch this. Ready? That's professional.
Boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, over there, always talented on keyboards, someone different this week, the very talented Mr. Dan.
Yes,
Adam on keyboards. There you go. Over on drums, always great, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny B.
You always fuck this up. It's Martin.
Martin, there you go. And over on trumpet, over on saxophone, I think it's saxophone. Saxophone, Eddie, everybody.
Mike, it's a trumpet.
I was right the first time. All right. I should have trusted my instincts. The band told me not to trust my instincts.
I was right the first time.
I was right the first time. So here we are. Put your phone away. You got enough pictures, Aristotle. Meanwhile, right before the show, I asked him to take pictures. What's that vamping thing you do in the background like that? Ba-da-da-da. Like, do that.
I love
no,
this.
No. The vamp. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
What was
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Well, let me hear just that part. Play that the whole show. I'm just kidding. All right. So here we go. By the way, to George Carlin, every week, I think, someone's got to think, really, Todd, every week, till I get this opening, I get a little stressed out. So take a sip of my coffee. Aristotle, pull your chair in. Pull your mic closer to you.
Everything's Todd, why good. Do you get stressed out about doing a podcast? Like, I know you want to make it good, and you like to perform it. But
the podcast association. This is why.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
That's why, Graham.
Who is the Podcasters Association of America?
Yeah, it's a real thing. How dare you?
Is this like the number one show on the Las Vegas Strip voted by Harrah's Magazine? Is it like that kind of a thing?
No. Like, oh, my God. There's a real Podcasters Association of America. They wear blue blazers. This fan is driving me nuts. Ay, ay, ay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. By the way, what about
I hope I'm saying her name right, Teresa Schrader. She's quitting smoking, and a lot of people are talking about it.
Good for you, Terry.
Yeah, good old Teresa Schrader. Yeah, we've been talking about Teresa all week because she's quitting smoking. It's very hard to do. And, you know, Teresa, we just wish you a lot of luck. We were talking about it last week. Have you ever quit?
I've been trying to
quit. Bobby. Oh, my God.
Someone's yelling in my ear.
Thank you. I hear it. It's like a gnat. I want to slap my ear. Not now. There's a time, Bobby, but not now. Okay. So, anyway, Teresa was quitting smoking. We got that. Her husband wrote me a letter, and he said, my wife likes you, but she doesn't listen to your show. Don't be offended. He goes, I just want to call her and say, honey, they're talking about you. So that's what we just did. Did you like it, Teresa?
Yeah.
He said, you're a real whore around town. We get it.
Just ruin it.
He said, you're whoring it up all over the New Jersey City area.
He said, the only reason you smoke is because you're loose.
What? Why would he say that?
Why did you make it funnier? Like, the only reason you smoke is because you're
loose. Women who chew gum smoke. Women who smoke drink. And women who drink are all godless whores.
I'll tell you one thing. What?
I don't know. That's like some old thing from the 50s. Like, women who chew gum drink. Women who drink.
Well, cracking the gum people that crack their gum. There's a difference between blowing bubbles, which is, you know, probably, you know, at a certain age you have to stop anyway. But there's a difference between blowing bubbles and cracking your gum. You crack your gum, it seems like and people that do it think it's just something special about it. It is so fucking, yeah. I hate it. Hate's a strong word. I dislike it. And I wonder, you know how when you think you dislike something, everybody dislikes it? Could there be someone right now going, oh my God, I love when people crack.
I love the click-clacky sound.
Oh, the clickety-clackety.
Great.
Clickety-clackety.
It's like a little dog that barks all day. It's awesome.
Oh, clickety. Matter of fact, you talk, and I'll be the person that cracks their dumb. This is what we have to listen to if we're at a table, and you'd be trying to talk.
You know, today.
Clickety clackety, clickety clackety, clickety clackety.
I went to the store.
Clickety clackety, clickety clackety, clickety clickety. Click, click, click. Clackety clackety clackety.
Why do you have a musical in your mouth?
Clackety clackety clackety. I'm trying to do it in the rhythm they do it. Sometimes it goes click, 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 and then it's quiet for a while. I don't want to exaggerate it, so talk a little more. I'll be the cracking of the gum.
So, you know, the other day I drive.
Clickety clackety.
I see this kid with a name, Aristotle.
Click, click, click.
That's your real name. Get an American name.
Click, 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 click.
And.
Clickety clackety, clickety, clickety.
You.
Clickety clackety.
You and this other kid.
Clickety clackety, clackety, clickety, clickety, clickety,
clickety, Bobby, you're almost 56 years old. Why you're going with Bobby?
Bobby Miyamoto. You ever hear Bobby De Niro? That's what his friends call him.
That's one of those things when you moved. I remember when I first moved to LA and was like. You know, I was a road comic, so I didn't want to work on the road as much, but I was like, I got to get, you know, gigs, stay in town. I did extra work. And sitting around listening to a bunch of professional extras talk is the most draining, soul-sucking, because they all think they work in show business. They're like, yeah, I worked on Ron's picture, and you mean Ron Howard? Do you think Ron knows who you are? Huh? Background?
Can we be fair? You're not talking about – I don't know why it's my obsession. You're not talking about the people that do that are sane, which is a shit ton of them. But then there's also a delusional group.
There's a delusional group. Yeah, right, there's plenty of people who are like, hey, I do extra work and make a little extra money. Or if it's union extra work, they do it to qualify for their health insurance or whatever. There's a handful of them that are fucking crazy. Right. That are like – if it wasn't for extra work, they're homeless or, you know, there's a mental imbalance or something like that. Those are the ones I'm talking about.
Of course. My mom does extra work.
Oh, great.
And that's not what I'm talking about.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I think you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
she does extra work. She doesn't.
She does extra work, if you know what I mean.
Oh, like a side job.
It's like a joke. I'm just being like, because it's not, it's like, you know, my mom, she does extra work. Like, let me make it easier
for
you.
Oh, in the picture, I don't get it. Like, in the pictures, or she just has
hey,
like,
you know,
she sells baked goods?
Let me make it easier. Oh, you know Rory Scovel's wife-to-be?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does extra work, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, so she works in pictures, too.
She does extra work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she does a little extra work.
Oh, so she has, like, a day job, and then she just, like, sells greeting cards on the side or something like
I'm saying it with a sexual. She does extra work.
Oh, she's a dog walker. Okay, that's all. That's great.
No,
that's a great side job, Todd.
No, she does extra.
Oh, she runs like a little smoothie stand or something like that.
No,
like at
she
the
does
beach,
extra so. Work. Zip.
Oh, she's Michael Winslow's assistant.
We'll take a break. You're listening to Graham Elwood, everybody. Here we go. Okay, well, let's get some of this stuff out of the way, because then I feel like I can be sillier when I don't have an agenda.
You get your goddamn agenda.
You show me a little goddamn respect, Grandma. I'm sorry, was that too mean? Where do you see the intro we made for you? But I want to get this all out of the way, and then we have a special intro, the Jingle Joe. All right. Oh, no. We haven't even started yet. We talked about his wife. What are you guys talking about over there? Are you shitting me? You have full-blown conversations over there? We're doing a professional podcast. I have over 20,000 downloads a year.
Podcast. Professional's a little strong.
Okay, we got that. I like this poem, and I'm going to read it.
I like poems, too.
Don't make fun of it, because it's from a very nice person. Please don't tell me I should hug. Don't tell me I should care. Don't tell me just how. By the way, will you read this seriously?
Sure.
Can you put a little piano music in the background? Because I want to do it justice, and I'm not the best reader. But you know what? A little softer. Can you put a little reverb in his mic? What's the person's name who sent this poem in?
Shel Silverstein.
All right, do it justice.
Please don't tell me I should hug. Please don't tell me I should care. Don't tell me just how grand I'd feel if I just learned to share. Don't say, it's all right to cry. Be kind, be fair, be true. Just let me see you do it. Then I just might do it too.
I like it. You know, it's something we've heard before, but you can never be reminded of it enough. Kids do what their parents do.
Thanks, Shel.
Is that her name?
No, I was calling you that. I'm changing everybody's names. Aristotle is now Andy. Todd is Shell.
Okay. There is a woman, and she's writing. I'm a little confused. I get a little up. She's Portland. She's an artist. Basically, her name is A-N-D-I-E. A-N-D-I-E. What's that?
Andy.
Okay. I think it's a – yeah, it's a woman. I don't know. I'm not sure. How could I be this stupid? I'm serious a little bit. I mean, I know I'm not, but like, come on, you're fucking going to do a show, and I thought I looked at it, I know I'm not stupid. I know they're all writing their emails telling me I'm not stupid.
You're not. You're fine. Didn't you read Shell's thing? Don't tell me to be the thing that I wanted you to think or whatever.
How dare you use that against me? Wait. I like the band. They laugh. Look, here's the gist of it. She asked me a few questions. When you get angry, you might have something you do. I would imagine you do, because for lack of a better way, I've always known you to be pretty.
I can get angry.
You do get angry, but you try to be spiritual.
Yes.
And let me tell you something about people that mock spirituality. I get it, because we hear it a lot. But no, I defend it. It just means in your life, whatever word you want to use, you make an attempt and remind yourself to just appreciate and all that stuff, and just be, whether you do it for God or you don't, you just, whether you're here, let's be kind to each other.
How about just a connection to something bigger than you?
Right. If it's the ocean.
Whatever that is.
It could be the ocean. The ocean's bigger than you. There's just some time of take it. Yeah, right. That's all. I admire that. I need to be reminded of it. And the other day I talked about in the opening of the podcast, Graham, I have not done this in a long time, but I don't get upset with the big things in life. Everybody has their things. For me, it's like, in other words, I'm patient with so many things, and I probably get that from my dad. And but little organization, and not only clean things. I'm talking about numbers. I need things to check out. I'm in my money. I need it to balance out things that are going on in my day. And when things flood me with too much, or something doesn't work out, or I'm trying to cancel my cable, and they tell me you can't cancel it, and then you get on the phone. But there's no excuse. I try to take a deep breath. Last week, I lifted up my office chair, and I just busted it. I threw it down on the ground. And I knew I was having a carpenter come on Monday to do some work around the house. Like, well, that's one of the things he's going to do. Is there anything you do, like, when you get like that? Are you proud? And is there something that works sometimes where you actually are proud of yourself?
Well, first of all, maybe the office chair shouldn't run its fucking yap. You know what I mean? Like, let's call it what it is. Office chair shuts its yap. Maybe office chair doesn't get fucking cracked over. How about that?
Thank you. That's a good way to start.
Thank you.
Blame it on the office chair. Yeah, the office. Maybe if that office chair shut the fuck up.
I wouldn't have to drink so much if you just quit hassling me.
That's a real guy with a real problem.
That's
He's mad at an office. Maybe if my office chair shut the fuck up, I wouldn't have to break it. Well, okay. So is there something genuinely that you do?
Actually, when I was a lot younger, I had a really bad temper as a kid, and I still wrestle with that. I still get frustrated with stuff, and I don't know. I've tried to breathe. There's some friends that I call that like talk me off the ledge sometimes, and then I just try to remind myself like how important is it, you know, like mm-hmm. how important is it? And usually when I'm mad, like. When I deal with some phone person and they're just like, your account doesn't work, and I just like, okay, fine. When I really get mad at that person, and if I'm fortunate enough that I can catch myself before I break the office chair, then I usually ask myself, well, what am I really mad at? For me at least, there's usually something else that's a little more deeply rooted.
See, everybody, it's different, because for me, I mean, look, if I'm pretty good at self-analyzing myself, it could be just this simple thing of someone said, because my head is so unorganized, you know, and that I need the things around me organized because it's the only thing I can control.
So that is a control issue.
Yeah, it is. I like things calm. When it's chaos, I like organized chaos. Like right here, you would think, oh, in the studio, there is a chaos that I fucking love. But it's organized.
It's
chaos.
Controlled. It's controlled. This chaos. Is a controlled environment. Yeah. You know?
So it's really whatever it is for someone out there. Yeah, I guess
I get mad when things sometimes get out of my control. And I think part for me personally, it's growing up in a household that was a little chaotic and not having all these things in my control. And also think part of it is, you know, we're type A personalities. You know what I mean? We're alpha males and we want things to go our way. And that's why we decide to stand on stage and have 200 to 300 people or whatever listen to what we're saying.
In all fairness, I don't mean a joke. Sometimes with me, it is could be up to 350. Depends what club I'm in. That much, I think it's that important. Actually, it's 350. No big deal. Who cares?
I typically fill a bigger room.
Yeah. With birthdays and comps, and maybe if the restaurant.
I can do 250. That's not paper. I mean, you probably need a little more paper. But what I'm saying, the guys start insulting each other. And, yeah.
So anyway, there's that. The breaking of the chair thing. Ooh.
What?
It sounds always so mean when I have an email and then I crumble it up, because it sounds like I don't care, and I do. But I have to crumble it up to know it's done. But I replied to your email, and I talked about it, so I don't want you to. Let me uncrumble it.
Couldn't you just like draw a line through it or something and put it in the
I don't know. I just like to say I did it. I took care of it, and then I put it, you know, and then I crumble it and put it in a filing cabinet. I don't want people to know I throw them out.
Oh.
Why do I? Okay. Let's move on. What I'm asking you is what you tell yourself when you need to give yourself a pep talk. Well, that maybe I will respond. Look. We talked about it. We didn't really give her any answers. Either did I.
I give myself pep talks all the time.
What do you say?
I say, Graham, don't be a fucking idiot. You get out there and you know. Yeah, I'm the worst. I'm the worst pep talk
guy. What if you were the worst pep talk? People buy your – it's like a pep talk to get you ready in the morning. It's a DVD. Play that like it's – and they buy it and they spend a lot of money. But then when they get it home and they play it, it's actually you being very – it's not really
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's this guy being –
and you play So they get home. Hold on. Stop. I'll be the guy. Put the headsets on. Honey, I haven't listened to this. It's the same bit every time. Hey, honey, I'm going to listen to that. This pep talk motivational thing I bought last week from this guy at the thing, wherever he got it, online. Okay, puts his headphones on, and then you come on.
Every day of your life, you look in the mirror and are facing the eyes of a goddamn moron. Maybe today you're not as stupid as you wanted to be. Try not to be an asshole for just 5 minutes today. 5 goddamn minutes. Can you take a 5-minute reprieve from being a fucking idiot just for today? Then you can have the kind of success that other people have. But you might not get it if you don't get it. It's not the fault of this DVD. It's because you're a goddamn failure.
Track one. But here's the guy, inner voice. That's a little. I'll be the guy. I don't know if that was motivating or not. I guess I'll. God, that was sort of mean. I'll listen to track two.
All right, you've gone through track one. You're on about your day. How are you going to conquer today? Well, I tell you how you're not going to do it. By doing the same stupid crap you've been doing. You're in a stupid position because you were born dumb. It's not your fault. God didn't like you. Your parents were stupid. You're stupid. How can you change that? I'll tell you why. Buy my next DVD on track three.
Track three. That guy's that's the
all,
worst.
That's it. And all he said, it's just a shell game just to get you to buy the next thing. It's all those teases.
And people buy it.
Yeah.
People buy it.
If you really want to get it, log on to the website for $20 a month. You can. Oh, great. Now I got to fucking.
You know what I was thinking? So I think we did all that. By the way, the I want to thank Patrick Roddy or Rowdy? Roddy. That stained glass window he made. No, I just totally soaked it in even more than I did last week. It was he did it with the Mr. Rogers font, and there's a trolley in the background. It just everyone I show Patrick is like that. You know what they say? Because I was going to buffer what they really said. That's the sweetest thing.
It, you know what? It's that is the kind of thing that makes me love podcasting so much. Because of that. Because of that personal connection that a fan made that and sent it to you. Like, I've gotten so many amazing emails or just gifts or stuff like that. You're just like, you know, we have a fan on Comedy Film Nerds. Her name is Sanai, and she lives in Japan. And we call her Big Fan Japan. And she's mailed us, like, all this cool... Like, she knows I study samurai swords. So she sends me all this samurai stuff. On her birthday, she sends us stuff from Japan. And we, you know, we joke and call her Sandy because we're dumb Americans that can't pronounce her name correctly and all this. And she just... It's we have fans literally all over the world. And that someone has that skill. Like, would you ever think... Oh, I want a stained glass with my podcast. You would never think to do that, and this person does that.
I'm glad that you appreciate it as much as I do because yeah, it was like I looked at it again.
Well, think about it, Todd.
What if they heard me break it and throw it in the trash?
Yeah, I love. Well, we're done with this. Smash. All right, hit it, and they just play music.
Okay, we're done with this. The thing. Never mind. So anyway, there. I wanted to thank him,
Todd. One time, a fan.
Okay, what we're trying to talk. What's
oh my Jesus. God, Bobby, you got to use good instincts.
Yeah, you got to really.
Ooh,
God.
Send your pictures to dear old Captain Noah for my Philadelphia listeners. Send your pictures to dear old Captain Noah. Be a joy, little boy.
What's this from?
Send your pictures to dear old Captain Noah. You'll be a pearl, you little girl. That was a song. It was from called the Captain Noah's Ark. And when I was growing up, I used to listen to it.
Was like a kid show? Mm-hmm. Something like that?
And
I
YouTubed it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Send your pictures. Red.
I love Philly, by the way. You played like, the Helium Club, right?
Not anymore.
Oh.
No, I love Helium. I thought about what's this? You don't have to repeat it. What is this? I like this a lot. It makes it look like I've done something in my career. They just took my words and I.
Hey everybody, my name's Todd Glass. My father was in the shoe business, and my mother was a whore. She sucked dick to put us through college, and loved every second of it. My father would come home and ask her to fuck less guys so she could spend more time with the family. She'd look at him and she'd go, I can fuck anybody I want, mister. That's right. She was a sultry whore, and she fucked her way to the top and eventually got her nursing degree and became a lawyer.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one.
Now, here's the thing about that. I listened to that three times because I went, oh, someone's like doing an impersonation of me. I never said that. I went, I said that. But taken out of context, it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
My mother was a sultry whore.
Yeah, it's really mean.
I mean, if you were there when I said it, it was sweet.
We just had a fan. We just started doing spoiler episodes for Comedy Film Nerds where... We give up. It's a bonus episode, and we're like one of them. We're like, oh boy, we need a new theme song. It's a different theme song than our other one. Somebody sent in
without this really cool, made a theme song. Like, both of our theme songs are made by fans. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Way to hear what Jingle Joe made you.
Jingle Joe.
Jingle Joe, motherfucker. All right, so here, we're almost done. We're almost going through this stuff. You know what I realized? 60, you ever listen? I have not watched 60 Minutes in maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
The other night I was home on a Saturday by myself. Ooh. And it's so calming. Just because it, you know, but it's like horrible stuff. It's like, this serial murderer did this.
Right, but the way they cover it.
Because it reminds you of when you were little.
Of actual news, of actual journalism, and not just like ticker underneath and fear, like, oh, is your baby going to eat your dog, you know, and just scare you and all that shit? It's
not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You have to wait an hour for
right.
that.
Right, yeah, the expose.
But it's weird that it's like all this horrible stuff, but yeah, because I turned it on, it was so nostalgic a little bit for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I feel so good. It's like a warm blanket. They're like, he murdered 90 people, you know, when they go into the prisons and they, right. you know, whatever it is. In Xbox, these prisoners are locked down. Forever, you know.
I went to high school with a kid named Andy Rooney.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God. And in
I thought you meant the real Andy Rooney.
Yeah, I went to high. Yeah, he's dead. I'm 114 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't, Graham. Come on.
You went to with another Andy Rooney?
Yeah, a different one. Just a kid who had the same name.
Take a call. Go ahead. You're not going to believe this. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Andy Rooney. The kid named Andy Rooney.
That's all I got. I got to use that machine. I
love that because we would just do that. We'd be in gym class and just be like, you ever notice how you can never make a layup when the coach is watching? Like, that's all we... You ever notice these gym uniforms just don't seem to fit right? Like,
but by the way, that reminds me that when you're in high school, you act. You ever been, when I used to be around people like college, you're used to. You know, you do college shows, and you're 35, 40, you're doing college shows, so you still relate with those kids. Like especially if you smoke, because
right.
drinking is a little hard when people are just start to drink. If you've been drinking a while and you're with someone that just started to drink, they get drunk a little different. But stoners get along. It doesn't matter what age they are usually. But I forget what I was talking about. Who gives a shit? Something about I'm not even. Hold on. Like that would help me. All right, listen. I want to. Okay. So 60 Minutes. Brendan, I mentioned Brennan. Is it Brennan? I mentioned him last week, and he said he'd send me him reacting to me mentioning him. I don't know. I think this is real.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go ahead and listen to the old Todd Glass show. Yeah, give me a second here. I'm just going to listen to one episode.
Pause it for a second.
It's anywhere from 30.
I love that the bits all involve some guy. Like, he's from listening to the show, I love that it rubbed off on him. It's always a guy and his wife's in the background. It's like, so it's, we grew up in this world of the wife in the background.
Right.
And by the way, that's right, I'm going to go off. We've always talked about, oh, I can't believe this is going to turn into me. People that don't want gay marriage, they complain about the sanctity of marriage. Now, I know we talked about, like, straight people have done enough with the sanctity of marriage because the divorce rate's 50%. You know, you fucked it up bad enough yourself. I know that's been talked about. But I thought about the other thing. And I'm not
talking about specifically me because I've been divorced. That's fucked up.
No,
I'm
not.
Right at me like that just because I've been divorced right in front of Robert and Aristotle. You're going to do that?
I'm sorry. Well, but guess what, though? I'll give you a compliment. When you were married, you weren't this guy. So it's a compliment to you. No, the guy that I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
And women, too. It's not sexist. That forget about that aspect of, you know, if you really cared about the sanctity of marriage, you would realize that in-house you've done enough damage. Like, I always picture if someone – here's what I would fantasize. Someone that is against gay marriage but gets how much damage straight people have done to it, that someone goes, we got to stop gay marriage. And somebody in-house that's against gay marriage goes, we've done enough damage in-house. Yeah, but the gay people are trying to get it. We'll deal with them later. But right now, we've done more damage. What do you mean? Because the divorce rate and other things. How about the ball and chain? How long has that been? Didn't that fuck the sanctity of marriage? That people, straight people that have been married for the last, since I've been a little kid, the ball and chain, oh, my husband, the ball. You don't think that fucking did? So if you were really worried about the sanctity of marriage, you could never, if you let every gay person get married, the destruction that's been done to marriage by straight people just spitting all over it. And you know what I'm talking about? Like,
dude, look.
I'm not talking about people. I know there's people that are happily married. I have friends that are. They have, right. When I say they have their troubles, yes, everybody, but I'm talking about overall. I do have friends that are married,
sure,
that genuinely appreciate each other and they get along. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the majority of people since I was a little kid. That ball and chain thing doesn't exist for no reason. So
right. I mean, well, there's so many flaws with the with the argument that gay marriage is going to ruin the sanctity. First of all, marriage was set up as ownership. I mean, two families would join. Like, I had a lot of land. You had a lot of horses. So your daughter and my son, we would arrange this marriage because it would help us, or our village needed more. You know what I mean? That's how it was hundreds of years ago. That's why marriage was started. The other thing, too, it's like I get so frustrated because the Constitution of the United States is pretty clear. Equal rights for everybody. Oh, but I can't have gay marriage. You know what I mean? It's like when the gun people are like, "Why? I need to have my gun." Oh, okay. Then I assume, right-wing gun nut, that you're in favor of gay marriage. Oh, no. Well, the Bible. Oh, the Bible that says it's a sin to mix grains. The Bible that's a translation of a translation of a translation of a related series of events. Like, it breaks down at every goddamn turn. And more importantly, why the fuck do you care? What the fuck is gay people getting married? If I'm,
you know,
a,
you think
I'm,
about it, that's gayer than gay people.
Right, right.
If you love pussy so much, were you so worried about other people? Why aren't you getting pussy?
I mean, I'm a straight white male, right? I do not care. It doesn't affect me at all if gay people are allowed to get married.
All right. Don't come in here with your agenda. Jesus Christ. Let people have beliefs. Some people think it's wrong. Jesus Christ, look at this guy walking in front of our studio here. He's a homosexual. Okay.
Be to 3 hours. 30 minutes to 3 hours. No big deal, right? Yeah, I'll take the trash out as soon as I can, honey. God damn it, all I ask for is 30 minutes to 3 hours a week.
30 minutes to 3 hours.
All right, get this show going. I sent that email doing it to that bastard. Hopefully he gets my name out there.
He talks to himself a lot. He's probably trying to find the play button to send this in, like, on the computer.
It's Friday. Good start so far.
Friday. Alrighty. How are you?
Good. I'm good, Todd.
How you doing, Brennan?
That can't be me.
Brennan.
Holy shit. Holy shit, honey! Todd Glass just said my name on the radio! I'm gonna quit my job! I'm going to Vegas! What? You believe this shit?
Why does this make you get
to All right, I mean to hit the chair. He's gonna quit his job because things are going. If I mention his name, he's gotta be lucky. Things that are going in his way.
I'm going to Vegas.
By the way, we're almost done this opening stuff. The typewriter thing that we do sometimes, somebody said, oh, I saw a movie and that was in it. Yeah, that by the way, that is from a Jerry Lewis movie. That just, you know, when he used to go, you know this. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. Seriously, stop it. Don't do it. Seriously, don't do that. It's annoying. No, don't. It's from a Jerry Lewis movie. It is from some... What Jerry Lewis movie is that from?
The Hysterical Typewriter.
What's it from, really?
The typewriter that saved Cleveland.
I don't... All right. Well, here we go.
The typewriter visits Washington.
What's this? Just play it. It says weird...
Oh, I saw these guys open up for Pearl Jam.
If this is singing, is this singing, Graham?
Yeah, this is singing.
Hold on, let me listen to see if I could do it. I could do that. Hold on, shut this off. Give me something. Can I have some reverb?
I love your...
Give me some horns. That'll make it sound like when I'm not singing, throw some horns in there. It'll make it look like I know what I'm doing.
Yabba boo boo boo. Yabba ba ba ba. A boo bee ba ba.
You could do it. You try it.
Mba ba bee ba ba ba. Zaba bee ba swee swa.
You're good.
Zip,
Graham, I've said this. I probably said it maybe 5-6 times on the show, but you're definitely high candy. And I'm not even high yet. But
what
I like candy.
High candy.
It means when someone's high, it's your treat. You're like, you're just so you're larger than life, you know, that whistling thing. Can we tell that? And then, you know what? Let's okay,
finish your openings and let's just get into talking stories.
Yeah. This is
cut
good.
The bullshit, the goddamn lined paper and all the other nonsense, and let's get into some goddamn joke riffing, all right?
Should we tell
Take out the fucking trash, Todd, and let's get into some jokes.
Honey!
I'm moving to Vegas.
I'm wondering if we should tell the story when you came over to my house for dinner. Like that story. That's a good story, right? Because that was a great bit, right? Okay, let's do this. We got all that stuff. I just like to pay that attention the opening. We got it. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna play your let's play your opening. What time? How long have we gone?
It's been only about a couple minutes.
It's almost been 40 minutes.
40 minutes. That's a cold 40 minute cold opening. People really get their money's worth.
40 minutes cold.
Shut the fuck up. Don't you fucking. Libby's here today.
Yes. Yeah, she is. I just saw her. Well, I think she took the bus here. I can't. Maybe she drove with Lionel. I don't know.
Can I play a message before we introduce, before you play your intro? Can I play a message that she left on my machine?
Sure.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Wait.
22.
Hi, Todd. It's Libby. I was just calling to say hello. I know I hadn't seen you in forever. I've been trying to listen to your podcast, but I don't have the right station. So I've been trying to tune it into the right station, but maybe you've blocked the radio. You don't have the right transmitter. So I'm going to try to do it. But you know me, I'm easy breezy. I listen to whatever you want. You're probably doing it intentionally. But I just... Whatever you want to do, Todd, I haven't seen you in ages. We'll go get whatever you want to get. We'll go get a coffee, although it browns my teeth, or a tea. I don't like it. The little leaves sometimes.
She complains about her own suggestions. It's Libby. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt. It's Libby to another dimension. Now she doesn't even like her own idea. She instantly shuts them down. Keep doing it.
Sometimes the tea leaves, they get inside my gums.
This is her, by the way, leaving a message. She's complaining with herself.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. But whatever you want to do, Todd, you know me, I love it. We go to an outside place, but if they got those fire pits, I don't like them. The smoke it gets in makes my hair frizz out in a weird way. So I just, anything you wanted, you know, Todd, you pick and choose, you know what I mean? But not an oriental place, because the spices, it hurts my nose. So.
That was a good ad lib. I got to be honest with you. Was that worth losing the job? All right, so Graham, we're happy you were here.
Glad
Why don't we do something nice?
We've got a returning guest today. You know him from Comedy Film Nerds and the L.A. Podfest. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for our good friend, Graham Elwood. Graham Elwood, back on the show. You've seen him with Doug Benson on the road. Ratings will spike.
This is one of my favorites he did.
Graham Elwood, Graham Elwood. He's a good sport. I hope he gives us a traffic report.
Last time you were on, you did traffic.
Ratings will spike when he does his home strike. More Graham, check out Afghanistan. It's his documentary. I hope and pray that maybe today
I guess I should let him go.
What's this guy's problem?
That is a little long, right?
It seems like a long one. The songs normally go this long, or?
This is.
Is he doing that song Wipeout? I don't know.
This is the Martin on drums. This is a long. I told him when Jingle Joe's song ends, do a little bit of a drum riff, but this has gone on too long, right?
See, I think it's going on too long. Drum riffs end.
Graham Elwood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We do it professional on the Todd Glass Show.
That song was awesome.
Thank you.
So is a fan, Jingle Joe? Is that who that is?
Jingle Joe, I would say, is officially our music director next to Lynn Shore, who has got hit by a bus.
Oh, what?
But he's fine. Guess what? After that whole big thing, Bobby Miyamoto has to leave. Halfway through that song, he looked at me. I'm going to take off.
Yeah. I don't mean to be rude.
Easy, Bobby. We're talking.
Oh,
we're doing an intro.
God, we're talking about you.
Unbelievable.
We're talking about you. That's the worst time to interrupt.
It's just getting late, Todd.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, let Bobby out, and then we're going to come back. And Graham, you better be. No, I don't even like that. I like it when it's a bit, but this is a good zone. I'm genuinely very happy you're here today. This 45 minutes, that's what it takes to get this goddamn thing. This is like a fucking freight train.
I love this.
It's a freight train that we run every week here. Does that sound like a freight train? That's what I fucking wanted. Good job. I like to be supportive. You got to be supportive.
Goddamn stagecoach. What is this?
Well, it's a stagecoach. Look at this guy. Play the music when this guy runs by. The guy's got a half shirt running down La Cienega Boulevard. Weirdo. Who wears a half shirt? By the way, you know when your shirts get a little too small on you and you got to put you put both arms in the shirt and you do a bump out just to.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a little heavier? I know you eat. I'm not making.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Nothing.
Now?
I don't even want to do it. You know why? Because I admire you for taking care of yourself. And even in a bit, I don't want. Well, I was going to go.
I like a vegan, have a gluten-free T-shirt.
So when you put your arms in the shirt and you bump it out, because sometimes when I was 30 pounds heavier, I was trying to even my extra large shirts, I'd have to bump them out. But when you bump them out, the material's got to come some somewhere. So if you want it wider, it's going to come from the length.
Oh yeah.
So one time I forget where I was at, but somebody goes, "Is that a half shirt?" Because the more you bump it out, the more it's getting smaller and smaller the other way. That's a great story. We have more fun where that came from. So we're gonna let Bobby out of here. We're gonna take. What do you want to do when we go to break? What can we play as we go to break? Guys, take us to break. Three guys with instruments.
Are these the guys? Is this the same band you had at the podcast festival last year?
No, that was just Lynn the drummer.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty.
Are you bringing these guys
in? Adam on keyboards. And then on drums, Martin. And then on that trumpet is Mike. All right.
Oh, I want to take a band with me on the road.
Oh,
I love having a band.
You know what they do? Watch this. They do. Now, I know you. Okay. I'm so close to letting you guys go. It's always fun to. By the way, I would have the band that I would. I would have to, like, after. I want to get a parody of being mean to the band. You know what I mean? Like, guys have been mean. I want to be like you. But,
like Buddy Rich style.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's you. But then you're like, you motherfuckers. You know, you're just always yelling at them. Like, you fucking. And then, the truth is, I want them. The only way that's funny to me, I think we've talked about this on the show, is if they're. I don't care if they're 63. They have to look at 80, 90. And they yell back. They go, fuck
you. Shut up. Yeah, like, it's just this really caustic relationship, like a dive bar.
Like, they tell me, if we're in a theater, like, hopefully my career would be like, you're working theaters, and I picture yours a night where, say, if there's a night where there's an empty balcony, everyone sees it, they would go, yeah, you can't even fucking fill the balcony, you piece of shit. You're yelling at us because you fucking hate your own life. Fuck you. That's not. And they just go, you know, Olga, fuck me? Really? Fuck you, you piece of shit. He goes, I don't care. You know, they just get
one
into
guy
it.
Pulls like a blade out of his cowboy boot. Fuck you, you cocksucker. I'll cut you. Fucking smashes a bottle. I'll cut you. I'll cut you right goddamn now.
What type of band would have that relationship?
That's insane.
Graham, you took it to another level. I love it.
That would be so great. You just, yeah, you fucking 2, 3, 4. They all know, and they're all professional. Then they all go back into it, right?
After, want to try it right now?
Yeah.
Like, they yell at them, but they still have to give me those hits. You know, when the bit, I'll show you. Watch this. I'll try doing the bit. Hold on. Hold on.
Two, 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 one, two.
All right. So what are you? Who are you going to be?
So I'm going to be like, I'm in the band one night. They're playing behind me. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take you back to a time. Hold on. Stop. Are you fucking guys shitting me?
You shut the fuck up, you asshole. All you do is bark at us all.
Fuck
God.
You.
Why don't you try to be goddamn funny once in your goddamn
life? Why don't you learn to fucking play in this band?
Oh.
Like you're hired, you 90-year-old fuck. You're lucky I'd hire you.
I'll kick you in the nuts, you old cocksucker. You couldn't fucking sing a goddamn song if I paid you $10 for every fucking note.
Fuck
you. Shit.
You.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck you.
How old are you?
I'm 98 years old.
Yeah, you're going to die soon.
Yeah. At least I'll die with my goddamn... I'll fucking cut your throat. I like that. You ever
cut my throat?
Yeah, I'll cut your fucking
lady night.
All the guys I've been with.
I tried to do the pit. Did I fuck it up? I just pictured you would be yelling. It's like, go fuck yourself. Luck be a lady tonight. You know, they have to come right in with
right.
The kids. I'm sorry.
And like I go right in the back, I'm singing, go fuck it. 2, 3, 4. Fly me to the moon.
You did it better. You do it. Do it to me. You be the guy. I'll be the old guy.
All right.
Wait, come right in with fly me to the moon.
All right. Fly me to
the moon. No, you yell at me first, okay. and then we have to come right. As soon as you sing, we all have to play. I'm one of the guys in the band.
All right, so just play it. Just play a couple bars, and I'll stop you for being shitty.
Yeah.
So, folks, it's, you fucking assholes can't play a goddamn note. Put the fucking... Do you even know what you're holding? Do you even know the name of the goddamn thing in your hand? Do you even know what the fuck you're talking about? What are you holding? Named with the thing that you're holding.
I'm holding... What are you talking... I'm playing a saxophone.
Saxophone? Really? It sounds like you've got a goddamn licorice stick up
fuck
your...
You.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck you.
You know what? Fuck. You know what's embarrassing? That I can't invite my family to see your show because they asked me why it's not even sold out.
You got a fucking family?
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
you were raised by goddamn fucking asshole animals that shit you out.
You know what I thought? You know what I thought? That if you were fucking big, you'd be working fucking bigger theaters. You're in 500
you cocksucker.
Rooms.
You're fucking holding me back.
Fuck you.
If I had a better fucking band...
Fuck you.
Maybe I'd be in effect.
Yes.
2, 3, 4. Fly me to the moon. Let me play among this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome here to the Destiny Lounge. We've seen possible life on Jupiter. You fucked up a fucking note, and that's why I fucked up. If you guys had fucking hit your goddamn notes, then I would have. Where's my fucking lyric sheet? You got one.
Maybe if you had a fucking goddamn music director, we'd fucking know what we're doing up here, you cheap fuck. Maybe if anybody in this audience. Picture of you. By the way, I'm going to stop the bit to really make it. If you went to see this, now we might be sloppy all over the place because we're building it now, but if you went to see this and this was perfected, how fucking funny. Because
Todd, if we could perfect, I swear to God, if we could perfect this, like.
It's pulling the knife out that takes it. Come on.
It's going in and out of the song, and everybody, the band guys. Are, like this headband guy immediately it looks like it's about to get to a fight and then always.
Well, I'm the band leader of this, right. So I always speak for them. So we do it again. We get into this big fight, but you want to do your next song. I turn to the band because I'm the leader, and they don't fucking miss a beat. Like because we know with all this contentiousness. We still need the fucking job.
And we do the gig.
And you've been working for you. How many years have I been working for you, the musical director?
It's been like 18 years. Like, it's been way too long.
Make it longer.
Yeah,
it's longer.
20, it's 36 years. 36 years we've been working together. And it's been like this for 35 of them.
I'm so glad we stopped this bit, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I went to be the old guy in the band, when somebody doesn't have a 90-year-old voice tries to do it, it just sounds like a cheesy play.
Right.
So when you're yelling at me, I'm just going to yell like a regular guy.
Whatever.
But I picture in my head the guy's like literally 85 years old, but he acts even older.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like a Tim Conway character. Hobbles around, but has this fucking piss and vinegar in him.
Yes. And I'm the band leader. The band sometimes tells you to go fuck yourself, too. But usually it's me and you arguing. So, but you're arguing.
Here's how this the funniest way to do this. You're the band leader. But you would hear cat calls from the band. Oh, suck it. Here we go again. Okay. You know what I mean?
Like, should I go back up to the stage and do it?
Yeah.
Is that funny or not?
Well, no, we got to hear your voice, but I think these guys should, we should hear
it.
Off mic.
When I point to you, you'll know, like, that means I'll be reminding you to, like, be, you hear him in the, I'm the leader, but you hear, fuck you. Yeah, you're, you all, you, like, nobody can stand
him. Here we go again.
And you're a singer, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm a singer, and I'm, you know, I think maybe I had a little fame. But that was I haven't had it in a while, so there's that dynamic of the guy that is pissed off that he got passed
still,
over.
Matter of fact, some people would say you should appreciate your career, because here's probably where the way I see it. You used to play 5,000-10,000 seat places. Now you're going to about 1,200 seat places, and 85-90% of the time they are full.
Right.
But there's some nights when it's not, and these guys.
I'm definitely the guy that doesn't appreciate the fact that he's still in show business or anything like that and is just a fucking raving asshole, and these guys have had two decades of it and they're sick of it. Like, my big hit was like in 78. You know what I mean? And it was all roses and 78, and then things started going downhill, and I just became a fucking asshole. But we're just, all of us are, for whatever reason, in this horrible dysfunctional relationship. Like, none of the great thing is, none of these band guys went, oh, I don't have to work for this guy. I'm going to work somewhere else. Everyone keeps showing up for doing it. Like,
well, that's why he wants, even if you, okay, God damn it, I love it. Okay, so here we go. Should I go up there, or am I do better over here?
You got to be on mic.
Well, I have a mic over there.
All right, go
it's through
mic.
The house.
All right, go through.
Okay, so we go. But I love. Okay, so you're over here. You got put reverb in his mic when he goes to sing, because there's something funny about him yelling, and then the minute he sings, there's tons of reverb in his voice. Like, things get perfect quick.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I want to stay. Oh, maybe I'll stay over here. I'm a little nervous.
Why are you nervous?
It's a lot of setup.
That's why you're nervous.
All right, here we go. I am a little bit, because I feel like, I don't know why, but I swear to God, I'm nervous. This is my own show.
You're nervous about a bit that we're doing on your show.
I don't know what mic to talk into.
And you know it's a podcast, right? You can't get canceled. The network isn't going to come back with notes.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so just start doing Fly Me. We'll be doing Fly Me to the Moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what life is like on Boom Boom Jupe. There should have been two of them. There should have been fucking two Boom Booms. Jupiter, Boom Boom, and Mars. What the fuck was
fuck
that one?
You.
Fuck me.
You.
Fuck me. Fuck you.
Fuck you every night you play Mars. Your sheep music. Why don't you get us good sheep music?
How the fuck is it my fault that you've got fucking retarded monkeys behind
you
slapping
and
got...
Hey, you don't like that
word,
you
go fuck yourself.
Fuck you, I don't give a shit, baby. You don't get to use verbiage like
I don't
that.
Use... Why?
Fuck you. Oh, it's...
Well, maybe they should be goddamn half a fix. You ever think of that?
Me?
You heard what I say,
baby. You... Fucking, you, hey, you missed the days of working 10,000 seat rooms.
You cocksucker.
Fuck I could
play
suck
big
my
venues.
Wife's dick.
I could play big venues. I just don't want to. I like the intimacy of the 1,200
fuck
seat room.
You.
Oh,
fuck you.
Oh, these cocksuckers. What the fuck are you talking about? You guys are the biggest fucking. If I had a real fucking band, maybe I'd be back in there. What's that? Oh, sorry. 2, 3, 4. Fly me to the moon. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome this manager of the lounge here coming into the showroom. Good to see him. It's always a great night when he's here. And I want to thank my band. They're the best band in show business, you guys. I've been with these guys for a good number of years, and it's great. Tommy's the show manager. Tommy, thank you so much. He's going out on the casino floor, guys. He's going to get yourself some free chips, so you guys have a great time. How about a big round of applause for Tommy, the manager? All right, the guy that fucking writes the checks is gone. Enough here. What the fuck was that noise? Shut your goddamn mouth. Shut it. Shut it right there. Shut your mouth. I told you. Hey, do you have control of these assholes at all? Do you even know what the fuck you're doing?
You want... Listen, if you want them to play, you look over at them and you give them a cutoff sign. They don't know it's fucking you. You're supposed to look at me.
What am
See?
I... What am
you're
I...
fucking doing cover songs, you pile of shit.
What am I doing? What am I, a fucking traffic cop? These assholes don't know how to just hear a goddamn voice inflection? Oh, shut your... Hey, asshole, I don't even know your fucking name. And I, you want to know your name? Because I don't want to know...
We've been playing together for 30 years. What the hell?
Well, okay, 30... So then you've been fucking it up for 30 years.
Hey, Graham, the band has something they want to tell you.
Oh, what's
that? I think they're sorry. What do you want to say?
Fuck you!
Oh, fuck me! 2, 3, 4, fly me to the moon. Let me play amongst the stars. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always great to be in the Destiny Lounge and playing with my favorite band.
You should have seen me really trying to... I look like a maniac because I'm trying to tell the drummer, Martin, to stop, but I want Mike, the trumpet player, to keep going, and I look like a maniac.
Well, riff that I came in is, in my head, I was like, why would he suddenly, and I was like, oh, the casino manager, the entertainment director comes in the show line, so that's when he stops yelling at everybody. Like, my character is like an ass, he's kind of a bully coward, you know what I mean, who bullies these guys around, and then when people are watching.
By the way. Young Jake Adams walked to 7-Eleven, and I don't know why I'm horrified. Like, it's fine, but I think about it like he could have been back already. Am I being silly?
No.
2, 3, 4. Fly me to the moon. Let me stay. That is a fun bit to do. I don't know why I was running around over there like a maniac. I could have been sitting here enjoying myself. That's the fucking problem, Graham.
Yeah.
You're so fucking funny.
Here's what we do. If we do this bit, we do it and it escalates. That's how you do it over the course of
yes,
a show.
Yes, you're right.
I say little things, and then you guys, okay, you try to adjust, and then you start to see some snickers. And
it cuts
like,
to him stabbing. We have like a pocket we wear, pocket blood thing. It ends up where I stab the drummer, and he shuts up.
I go,
shut up, and I stick a knife in his head.
It starts, and then you start to hear, yeah, okay, buddy, we got, and then it just escalates.
Oh, my God, I'm not even joking. Like, you know how sometimes you go, am I just being high talking? No, this is a fun. If it ends with the drummer where he won't shut up and he's right in my face being disrespectful and I stab him, maybe it's in the shirt, however you can buy like a pack, like a fake, you know, like magicians use. You stab him, and then not only do we keep going, but they drag him away. And I go, isn't that a lot better, ladies and gentlemen? Really? And the crowd's like, they play along. They're like, oh my God. He goes, and then another drummer comes, sits down, and they play. There's nothing.
You know what you do, honestly?
What do you do?
In all seriousness?
What do you do? You always got great ideas. Can I have that piece of paper?
Oh, Jesus.
What are you, a hippie freak?
What do you just throw your garbage everywhere like a goddamn animal?
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Oh. I'm going to leave this trail mix here, Todd. You're going to just have to let that live there.
I'll overly clean my area to make up for it. You know what? I want the band to all use hand sanitizer. I got to get the room. I got everything around you. You're right. I do have to let you eat that. I'm all right with it.
It's okay.
I wish it was. The bag was opened a little more even. It looks like it's going to spill out. Like, you didn't really open it. It's like ripped. It's like how I open things.
It's all right.
You should see the way I open things. People would think a gorilla got in the house. I will go in the center of a goddamn top part. People know what I mean.
You make for this show. I'm telling you, this is a real show.
I get it. Like,
and you get a really good. You get an actual good band. No, I'm just joking. No, you guys are. No, you guys are awesome.
I love it.
So,
fly me to the moon.
What a delightful place.
Da da doo boo. I like the way stopping them. It's fun. You want to stop them? Stop them. Ready? You know, play a little more. Let Graham eat more. Give him 30 seconds to eat some trail mix. Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing music while Graham eats some trail mix and takes a drink of his healthy juice. It's naked juice. It's got good stuff in it. I could.
Fly me to the
food. All right. Let's, oh, my God.
Thank you for picking me up the food.
What? I just heard crumbling of a microphone. It got me all nervous. Judy.
Here's what you do.
Nobody's more angry than Judge Judy.
Because the people are coming for two. Here's
in a good way.
Here's how you sell this show. The fans are getting two things. They're getting actual, and we get some actual singers, you know what I mean, to play with this awesome band. Right.
Can I tell you something real quick, though? Interject real quick. But I like your way better. In the beginning, I fantasized it really getting to do this in my career. Like, if I got to the point where I could travel with a three-piece band, I'd do stand-up comedy, basically. But then, you know, towards the end of the show, I would yell at them, they'd mess up, and it would end with this really, this song, and it would be so overly, you know, dramatic. Sure. As a comedian, I got to do what you're talking about. But I love the idea of taking it to the next level and thinking about it. Versus, probably will never happen, because that's what Jerry Seinfeld says. Whenever you talk about stuff, you'll never do it. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what Alexander Graham Bell would say to him about that.
Obviously, that just you, or, you know, being a comic going on the road with the band, I would love to do that. You would love to do that. But this
it's
this
great.
Sketch, you build a whole show. So people are coming,
And they get to actually see singing and good music right. and intermixed with this – there's like two storylines. You know what I mean? There's like
well, you get it, that the band has to be, as these guys are too, the band has to be good. So you're like – I would the way I explain how I would want a show to be is what I would want people to say about it. So I picture if people left and they said what I wanted them to say, I'd be like, actually, the band's really good.
Exactly. That's what you want them to say. You want to go, the band, and that one singer came out, and then these guys are yelling at each other. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and then
it would be like a – who's that – like it would be like explaining – I remember the first – it's a completely different show, but you'll know what I mean, how I think it could have this audience if you toured with a show like that. By the way, which sucks is if you make it a singer's, I can't do it because you have to have someone that can sing. They don't have to be great, but they have to be better than me. But we'll get somebody. You know, I know some people that are available. I think Scott Aukerman will do it. No. No. That's the worst thing you can say as a comedian. It means it's like a non-funny person way. You make a joke and then you go, no, like, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's what regular people do.
But thank you. I didn't want to say it. Not regular meaning regular. I mean regular meaning regular. Not regular. Regular. All right. So listen. So the whole thing with, and then all of a sudden, 2, 3, 4. And that would only get tighter and tighter.
Well, that's the thing.
Like a red spotlight would have to hit you when that happened. All of a sudden, echo, red spotlight, and that band's there.
Well, the light, yeah, exactly. And it immediately becomes this glamorous Vegas.
The chandelier lowers.
Yeah, immediately. And then, right. And then as soon as the yelling starts, it goes back up. Yeah. Lights come by. Like, it just keeps, you know what I mean?
You know why? You make the chandelier go up. That's it. We can pack up. Fucking raise the chandelier. Because, you know, like in a production, it goes up. Right. And then your chandelier goes up. The lights go on. Turn the house lights on. I don't give a fuck. You start arguing. House lights are on. Fucking clear out, folks. And then all of a sudden.
You could have, and you could build. I mean, you could. There's so many great things you could do. You could then have, like, you know, crew people come out and start breaking shit down.
I just thought of it. You have somebody from the audience yelling, this is bullshit. Like a good actor. Like, here's how it would sound. This is bullshit. This is fucking bullshit I tell them, we all paid to see you and we like you and you're fucking arguing. No, this is not worth $80. This is fucking ridiculous. And you hear the crowd going silent.
Yeah, and then guess
what happens? You shoot me.
Yeah.
You pull out a gun, you shoot me, and I fall over in the audience. Shut the fuck. And you, not only do you shoot me, but you go, fucking piece of shit. Don't fucking tell me you're not getting your $85 worth. Fuck you. Anybody else in here? Anybody?
Yeah.
And you hear, guy raises his hand, I shoot him in his hand. That could be hard, the second part. The first part, I think. I don't know why that's the only part I'm worried about. No, because I want to be real about this in the shoot. But the first guy you could shoot, that would be, you know, you'd have a sound effect go off, he'd fall over. Maybe we got something on our hands. This sounds like a Tina and Tony's wedding we got on our hands.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. It's like that.
Fuck it then. And fuck them, that whole fucking franchise. It's so annoying.
Why'd you turn on them?
I don't know. I got nervous.
All right.
Did you ever hear this before?
What?
Growing up, did you ever hear this song?
Todd Glass, the Todd Glass Show, after Marin on Friday. Todd Glass, I'm tuning in. He's got a pilot and a book on the way.
Oh, well, I told my mama on the day I was born I want to listen to podcasts.
All right, enough.
That is great.
No big deal.
A pilot and a book.
What do you think a jingle like that cost me?
$48,000.
That's fucking close. It's $47,000.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing good. You know what you do? You want people to think you're doing good, but you don't have the typical things that would maybe show it. Like, so you live like in a studio apartment in Culver City in the worst possible place you can be, and people go, you doing all right? You go, oh, yeah. Like, look at this. This is like an antique time watch. It was $100,000. I don't give a fuck. I'd rather have this shit than a house. Who gives a shit?
I don't care about a house.
Yeah. You know that Pacer I have out there? You think of an old car? Yeah. That used to be Harrison Ford's first car. I bought it. It was $200,000. I bought it at an auction. Money went to charity. You know, fuck it. I'll spend money on that. People are like, oh, you should buy a home. I don't give a shit about that stuff. This toothbrush used to be John Wayne's.
Yeah, John Wayne's toothbrush?
Yeah.
What did that cost?
I shouldn't tell you because I was so stupid. It was too much.
What? How much?
It was $300,000.
For a toothbrush?
Yes.
What'd your accountant say about that?
He was not happy.
Oh. I know how that goes.
But anyway, I pull up in a Granada station wagon. You know, like, why, if I'm doing so well, and you come back to my house, I live in a tent under the 405. I'm doing a documentary, but they're not shooting it on who gives a shit. I told him they couldn't shoot it. I said I would do it if they don't, only if they won't shoot it.
Oh, do you have a dollar? I got to take the bus. You know, any of the bums' money. Like, there's some, like, what?
Yeah, you know what? It's like, I'd rather, I don't want to spend my money on the bus because then it's like, what?
You know,
that makes no sense.
So I have to give you my dollar so you can ride the bus? That doesn't.
You know what I have? All right. So here, I want to play this for you. We talked about this last week. Everything's good. I'm a little bit scattered, but we're going to be good. Hold on. This is a song I played last week, and this is a real song. Like, I'm trying to think. Still, I'm being serious. I'm to George Carlin. I'm curious about this. I think he's singing it to his grandmother. No, to his mom. But it sounds like it also could be to his wife. And now I'm thinking definitely to his wife. But it's like, it's not a parody of a song. Like, this is a serious song, right? So it's like, but just listen to it. Listen to what he's going to miss about his wife.
Who's going to water my plants? Who's going to patch my pants?
A fucking dry cleaner.
And who's going to give me the chance to feel brand new?
All right, fade that out. Can you guys give us a little music like that? Give a reverb. Da, 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 da. This guy's worried. Who's gonna be the guy singing?
Who's gonna water the plants?
What else is he worried about?
Who's gonna iron my slacks?
What do you think the wife?
Why wouldn't I say pants and plants? Why would I go slacks?
Sing a song that if your wife, someone said, you know, your husband wrote a love song, he misses you. Do you know that? Like, you picture, like, and I'll be the woman, maybe pretending I'm listening. Someone goes, you got to turn on the radio. You know, like, that happens sometimes, like, people in real life. But this guy, yeah, he wrote a love song about you. He really misses you. And this is the shit that she hears. She starts, she would be like, shut the fuck up. Yeah, he wrote a love song. But it's like, this is, okay, so here we go. I put on my headsets, whatever, I'm at
Should
the gym.
Play the actual song?
No, I think it's better if we do it and make it worse. Make it meaner. Not meaner, but, like, so, like. So anyway, she, I'm a little all over the place, but it's okay. So she is at the gym. She has her, you know, iPhone. She lit, oh yeah, oh my God. And she's like morbidly curious to see what the song says. You know, she's even thinking about maybe going back with him because it melts her a little bit. She always loved him, but they just had a tumultuous relationship. I love when the bit starts picking up steam. At least in my mind, it does right about now. So they had a tumultuous relationship, but she really does. She had no idea. She didn't even believe it was true. He wrote a song. How do you know it's about me? It's about you. Trust me. So she's like, I'm going to listen to it.
Hey, can you stop playing already?
Reaper. Oh, she puts her headphones on.
I really miss my wife. She cut my heart like a knife. But then really didn't clean it. I was always doing the dishes. It was kind of annoying. She would tell me about work. Get along, just say good day, bad day. Didn't really need the 45-minute thing. My boss, blah, 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 blah.
She's getting madder. Keep going. Like, it's not an apology. He's just complaining about
right.
it. But he does say he misses her so much. He'll go back to that, like, my heart.
Oh, I miss the way she said my name. I miss the way she would never accept blame. Just admit you're wrong, you made this worse. I don't give a shit about all that nonsense in your purse. You're disorganized. The bigger the purse, the crazier the lady. Get your shit together, it's not all my fault. The way you cracked gum made me crazy. How about mints instead? Gum's kind of annoying. I told you my dentist said I miss you.
After all that. I miss you.
I miss you. There's no way she's coming back.
I miss you. I think she does come back. She's not too bright. They're both meant for each other.
They're idiots.
They end up on the Dr. Phil show.
They're stupid.
I had some people over the other night, and people were hungry. So I wanted to send somebody out and get some sandwiches. So no one wanted to go. For once, I actually went, which I never want to go because that's like takes forever, it seems to me, to go anywhere. Like, you know, to be the person that has to go out and get the McFlurries. So I'm like always bribing people. Please go out and get the McFlurries. I was going to go to Subway. They all wanted to start with lettuce and tomato. I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm not doing every sandwich, lettuce, tomato, olives. Are you shitting me? I said, you get to pick a meat and cheese, toasted or not, and a dressing. I thought that was nice. So everyone thought I was being a, you look, is this okay? This, you look horrified. I sound like I was mean, but like, think about it. You're going out for like, it was probably like 9 people, and I was willing to go. And even if I wasn't, I wouldn't make the person go. Olives, so I told everyone, look, meat, cheese, and a dressing, toasted or not. So everyone thought, oh, why would I want to, I go, really? If somebody comes back with a roast beef sandwich with Swiss cheese melted on it and the bread's crunchy, Subway or not, and brought them in and said, oh, yeah, I made these. There's 10 of them. They're roast beef. With, would you eat fucking one of them? Yeah. So let's fucking make pretend it's like that. Nobody, if they, we're at someone's house. Like, even if I said you don't get to pick anything, I'm just going to bring back an array of sandwiches. And someone goes, well, I'm not going to. Really? If somebody brought in a tray of, oh, there's some turkeys with Swiss. Some are toasted, some aren't. There's no lettuce, tomato on any of them. Oh, there's a roast beef with pepper jack, toasted.
Right. Yeah. You find a sandwich that you like.
At a big tray. So that's the way we're fucking doing it. And that's the way we did it. And that's why I wanted to tell you that story, to let you know how much fun it must be to hang out with me. I'm yelling at people all night. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I should have. Yes, there were times. It's another song that doesn't take responsibility. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew. No, not that one. Maybe I didn't love you. Bring it down. That song.
Totally cries as good as I should. That's Elvis.
Maybe I.
You were always on my mind.
That was, I think a few people have done that. Yeah, you were always on my mind. Great, I was out fucking around with everyone else, but I was thinking about you. Yeah. Oh, great. It's another one of those songs.
That's Elvis going, while I was neck deep in groupies, I was really thinking about you, Priscilla, home at age 17, hopped up on Percocets.
Thank you. That sounds like a nice song, but in fact, I don't want to overly think it. Like, I don't, if I'm wrong, but to me, it's like, it sounds beautiful, but it's someone taking no responsibility. In a song, you're right, it's even can make you think, oh, but then when you break it down, like, there's no responsibility. There's no ownership of wrong.
I was fucking other women, but I was thinking of you the whole time.
You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Great.
Thanks.
Great. Did you go to AA yet?
No, but I thought about it. I went to one meeting and I thought about going to more.
Okay, oh. So
like you're all talk, no action. You're that fuckhead.
Yeah. I picture the person like, did you hear my song? You know? And then the person has to, yeah, I heard it. Just like you, I'm glad you were thinking about me. I thought you were going to, there wasn't a part of the song where you talked about being clean for 3 years.
Yeah, you didn't talk about how you were going to change your life and clean everything up and be a better person to me. You just said you thought about me.
Boo hoo.
Wow, thanks. Great.
Thanks for a lot. Let's get back together.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, I want to get back together. I didn't know when you were fucking those girls you were thinking about me. I always thought you were thinking about them.
Oh, now I know that you were fucking thinking about me.
You were getting hard because of me. That's what the girl says. Yeah. She just believes it. I can't believe it. I thought you were getting hard because of them. You were fucking them thinking about me.
Oh, so you just couldn't have sex with me, so you were getting boners for other women. You know what? Now that I think about it, we should get back together. This is the girl's point of view now. I'm so glad that you cheated on me. I'm so glad that you had me in your mind. But while your penis was in another behind, I'm so glad that you still drink. I'm so glad that AA was stupid. Don't clean up. Don't get sober. Just keep fucking other girls. I'll come over. I want to be your backup plan.
This is the perfect girl that would buy his bullshit.
Yeah.
She hears it. She goes, I'm going to. She's a singer too.
Yeah.
She starts singing, you know, yeah, you know what? As long as it's okay. Maybe you didn't do anything about it, but at least you're. I'm just happy you were thinking of me.
Oh, God.
Ridiculous.
And that, you know, that's a girl that would get mad if you were thinking about, if you admitted to thinking about somebody else while you're having sex with her.
No. I was always thinking about you. Always. Yeah, break that down to a conversation that would happen in a room. Yeah. I made a lot of mistakes. We always make it a traditional family with a man and a woman, but this could work in any scenario you want. Today we're going to do man woman. It's what I'm used to doing. Yeah, I just don't. I'll be the woman, I guess. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You didn't even let me offer to be the woman. You just took it. I guess I'm the woman then. You just
because you know why? Because in this one, it's the woman to me that is the fun one to play here, because it's the delusion right. of
thank you.
You wanna, oh, I thought so. It's like, so in the song he's saying, "You are always on my mind."
Right.
Okay. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Break it down to real life. So I just don't want to get back together.
Well, you were always on my mind the entire time. Like every time I was.
Why didn't you ever tell me that?
I didn't know how to. I just felt bad. You know, I was. Yeah, I was with other women, but I thought about you.
I'm already afraid we're going to get an email. Oh, you're making the woman the victim. Look, in the next skit we're going to do, the guy's like a buffoon. He's like this.
No, no, here's the thing. No.
Let's make it the guy.
No.
Let's make it the guy.
We don't need to change anything. You want to know why?
Because don't yell at people, Graham.
Because they're dumb.
I'm very sensitive.
And they're weak. No, because
I know.
In your and I dynamic, every time we do a riff, you're always the guy that's like, "What?"
We said that on the phone, that whenever Graham calls me, he'll go right into yelling. I like being the aggressor in a bit and the person that gets yelled at. And I love, because most of our bits involve me going,
Graham,
that's not very nice.
Yeah. I say something horrible.
Yeah. Okay, so
because if I were to actually yell at you, you're not going to go, "Hey," you're going to go, "Look," you'd
in
yell
real
back.
Life, right? Yeah. Right. Now I want to go down. I want to finish this bit. So okay, so he's like, "Okay, that bit's over. You know, play that. Maybe we should move on and let's do it, because I want you to tell the story. You have that?
Maybe we should stop.
Maybe we should stop.
Maybe we should stop.
All right. Fade it out. You guys are great. You really earn your money.
You guys are awesome.
Bing, bang, boom. I can get a guy in here with a lobotomy, which means brain removed. Oh. I can get a guy with a lobotomy to bang on a tin can. How about that Subway story?
That was great.
I think I should tell that again.
Oh, yeah. Do you think I should tell that
blah, again? Blah, 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 blah.
That was actually funny. Was that worth losing your job? Was that worth losing your job? Hold on. I got somewhere we're going here. Oh, this is a story I wanted you to tell. I think it's – you always – a long time ago when Sarah was dating Jimmy Kimmel, I had a dinner at my house. And it was so perfect, because it's like you had to be in company with people that knew it was a bit. Like, do you do right. this bit? You don't want to be like – but the bit became – which Graham was just – Graham was doing a bit for a while. He was acting like my manager. And everybody knew it. Like Dave Rath right. knew it. Sarah knew the bit because we had done it. I think it's some shows where right. you would, in the middle of my show at the UCB, Graham would start yelling at me from backstage, you know, like, "I got people.
Yeah.
Do the thing."
Yeah,
like,
I got Discovery Kids in the audience. Get out there and be fucking funny.
In the middle of my set. And I would play the victim and I'd go, right. "Oh my." One time I flipped out on you. I started going, "Graham, I'm in the middle of a set. You can't do this. I got people from the animal planet to see you. Do something." So the bit became at the house that you were my manager, and I said, "Do not when Jimmy's there." It was a great bit because it actually, you know, we knew it would come right. to fruition the night that we had the dinner. So a few nights ago, the joke became like, "You're my manager. You show up," and I go, "Do not embarrass me in front of Jimmy. I don't want you to try to talk about getting me on that show. I swear." And you're like, "I don't." You tell me you won't. And then the night of the dinner.
Yeah, and I'm just forcing you to perform like a goddamn trained poodle.
Yeah, I go, "I can't be funny in front of – stop doing this to me. It's embarrassing. Do the thing where you were like dance and started – I go, "There's no music for me to dance to," and you started doing this.
Well, this is – yeah.
And am I setting this up right?
You're setting it up right. Okay. So everyone, you know, everyone's at the dinner party. Everyone's laughing at it. But I'm like, "You got to be fucking funny. I need you on Jimmy Kimmel." And then –
and by the way, when we would have these arguments over in the corner, that's what I love about that group is that everyone knows, they assume the position where you act like you're eating and you're uncomfortable. We hear you. So everyone was at the table,
right.
like,
yeah.
in other words, that you're yelling me at the corner. They hear us, but they were playing the role of, this is embarrassing.
Did I say anything? Yeah. And I think I'm yelling at you quietly enough that no one can hear me.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're so fucking loud.
I'm a crazy asshole.
So show people what they heard that night.
look, I got God. This is a Jimmy Kimmel dinner. You better.
It's not a Jimmy Kimmel dinner.
It's the jet. This is an audition.
You're making
every.
It's not. You're making me fucking nervous.
You're gonna. I'm gonna get you. Want to get on fucking TV? You want to be on TV? You want to get out there and you better fucking perform. Start dancing. Start dancing.
Stop that.
No, the great thing about the character.
I started dancing.
You started dancing, Todd, and he starts going on. He's dancing, and oh my God, it was fucking hilarious.
I started dancing, and then you go, now go out on that goddamn patio, because there's a glass window.
Yeah.
So you go out on that patio, and I'll fucking start whistling and fucking dance, and you push me. For some reason, I start doing it, and you start flipping the light on and off on the patio, so everyone's inside eating. I'm dancing. You're whistling. Do the whistling and picturing the light.
And then Todd, my favorite part about your character was eventually you would acquiesce. You'd always go, all right, I guess this is what I got to do to be famous.
Because I'm always nervous that you might be right.
Yeah.
Like, I told you once, I go, we would do the bit before a show. I'd, like, be at the Melrose Improv, and I would be like, sometimes the crowd got it, sometimes they didn't. It didn't matter, you know? So, but it was always fun to explain it to the audience, and then they're in on it. So 2 minutes later, I'm doing my show, and this would be the worst fucking manager in the world.
Ever.
Here's what he does. Just walks through the room doing the whistle, like trying to get people's energy up, because you know you have people in the audience. So I'm going to act like I'm doing my set, okay?
Here we go.
And this, by the way, this is what Graham really did. Yeah. This is what Graham really did. So anyway, I'll just do some fake bit, you know.
Anyway, I grew up in Philadelphia, and, there were Wawas there, and I always liked the
Come on, everybody, having fun! Woo, Wawas!
So anyway, when I first moved out to California, there were Wawas.
Sing!
What are you doing?
Sing! I'm whistling to get the fucking... I'm pumping the crowd
up! I'm in the middle of a bit!
Your bit's going nowhere. You're killing the energy in the room. Let's dance it up.
You know what's great?
The physics, and this is the one. This is the one down. The one a drawback of a podcast is they can't physically see you change from screaming at me like you're the worst to then that like defeated, like, all right, and then you kind of dance half-heartedly just because...
Oh, that's always start, right, I dance half-heartedly.
Oh, God, you'd be like, all right, and when I was flashing the lights, oh, that's the best part.
That's true. It's good fun.
Together, the happier we'll be. For your friends and my friends and my friends and your friends...
This is my niece, isn't she good?
Yes.
You like her?
Yes.
She loves to sing this song. Isn't she good? No, do you really like her?
Yeah.
You say... No, honestly. No bullshit. I won't tell her.
No, I think she's great. I have 6 nieces and nephews.
Please, just really tell me if you like it. I want you to be honest. Don't think about if it's a niece or anybody. Just think about it purely if you had to hire someone to sing a song. You can go, oh, she's adorable and I'm sure you love her, but she can't sing. I'll be okay with that.
She's got a voice that...
No, tell me the
truth. If I wanted to scratch out my fucking eyeballs...
Oh, she's here.
Oh, no!
Oh, you're the meanest person.
Oh, I'm sorry, little girl.
Okay, I got to play this for you. It's worth letting it breathe. Is everything good? We're all happy?
Yeah.
That band's got to leave at 9:30. Oh, by the way, this is the second... This is the last part of the first show. It's over.
Just like that.
Yeah, that's where we did it, right there. You think that's fair to do it right there?
Go to grahamelwood.com.
I feel like it's not fair to do it right... I feel like it's not fair to do it right where we did it, but I think it's okay to do it right now.
All right.
Because otherwise we're never going to know where to... How long has it been so far?
An hour and a half.
Oh, they look at you. You want more, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
I want more, but I get to do part two. They don't get part two till next week.
Oh, well, too bad, you assholes.
Be nice to people. I'm going to give you a second to by the way, you want to do this bit, like, you're horrible at it. I asked you to run the mic for a little while because I got to go to the bathroom, and you're overly confident. But when I leave, you're just horrible.
Okay.
You can't say it. When I come back, I love explaining the bit. When I come back, I ask you how it went. You say you did great,
okay.
And they lie for you.
Okay.
They all lie for you. All right, it's all right. Just, I love it every time. Here we go. Hey, Graham, could you do me a favor? I got to go to the bathroom. Well, you have your own podcast.
Sure.
Yeah. So do you mind running things for me and just let me pee really quick? Because I want to give the audience on the first part of the show, I want to give them a little more. I figure if I go to the bathroom, I take a break when you can be in control for a few minutes.
That sounds right.
All right, thank you. You sure you're comfortable?
Todd, I've done 170 episodes of Comedy Film Nerds. I know how to run a podcast.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And you guys, I want you to help him out and be very nice to him, okay? There we go. Okay. I'll be right back. Are you sure?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm overthinking it.
Coming up, I can't read his writing. Shit. What's Libby? I don't know what any of this. Do you guys? Do we take a caller or like? I don't know. We don't usually have a band when we do comedy filmers. It's like it's usually just Chris and I and a guest. So it's kind of like I don't know when there's like and now the band guys are talking. I don't know what the fuck. And I just it's like I don't know. I don't know what to like. Sometimes
alrighty,
I don't
guys.
What to do.
How was it, Grant?
Oh, it's great, man.
How do you just do? Seriously,
rocking and rolling.
What were you talking about?
We got on.
I love that I went in the other room.
We got on a riff. It was great.
I'm sorry. It's hard for me to not stop. At least I don't fake. You know what I don't do during bits? Fake laugh to save the bit. I just go, I want to laugh. We're stopping the fucking bit. Instead of like going, stop the bit, laugh, and then fucking go, start it up again. And that's where we're at right now. You not only were you horrible, by the way, obviously, you have the nerve to fucking say you got off on some riff.
Yeah.
Like you didn't, what riff did you, what was the riff if I asked you? Well, what'd you riff about? Hey guys, did he do good?
It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
Todd, don't take this personally. I really like your part of the show, but I want to tell you that his part when you just left him alone was by far way better.
Oh.
Yeah, we just got into a rhythm.
By the way, why are they lying for you for this bit? Because did you give him money or something?
No, I don't think I gave him money. I think they feel it's like out of sheer pity.
Oh, okay.
I just saw
so he was real good. I can't wait to listen to it next week.
Did we have a tech thing? Oh, do we have a technical thing? Oh, fucking pocket.
We got on a riff. Give me my notes back.
Give me my notes.
All right, listen. Let me dilly dally around on this board here and find some fun stuff for us to talk about. I got the Subway thing. That was just fun stuff.
Oh, that was good business. That Subway thing.
Hey, you know what? You want to talk about? Let's end the show talking about Trayvon Martin. I'm sort of half serious. By the way, I want to know seriously. Do you think it was? I have an interesting take on it, but before we get into it, do you think he should have been? Because I didn't. Let me just say this real quick. I think it's all right to talk about what I know about because I'm not on the jury. But if somebody educated goes, Todd, he was guilty, I believe in my heart, but could go, here's why he got voted innocent. That's what I need to hear. But do you think he was innocent or guilty?
I think he was guilty. I think okay. Zimmerman was guilty.
Here's that. And then I'll go, and then I will let you then go because I want to get it out of my head. And you watched a lot of the trial?
A fair amount.
Okay. This is just me and you talking. I'm not saying, oh, if I was the juror, whatever. I had this weird fantasy of being sort of the lawyer and going, no, by the way, I could be crazy, or someone could go, you know, that's a good point. He had a Crown Vic. Now, if that's true, a Crown Vic, which is a cop car, mm-hmm. would I want a Crown Vic? Yeah. Yeah, I fantasized about that. Yeah, I've seen people get the old ones. I had a friend that had an old Crown Vic back in Philadelphia, and we drive around when we were younger. But there's two types of people. So anyway, I pictured being a lawyer going, and so saying he had a Crown Vic, right? Now, everybody that has a Crown Vic is not a fucking killer or is a sociopath. There are people that have them, and, you know, they tell a story. Yeah, I used to have it. It was fun. Okay. But at what point do you start getting suspicious and go, hey, if it's a Crown Vic, it's no big deal. Right, that's I picture talking to a jury. He wanted to be a cop. Right, he's on town watch. He has a gun, and he's bought a Crown Vic. Now he either bought that Crown Vic for two reasons, and it's only fair to say both. Coincidence, not aware it was a cop car. People drive Crown Vics. I've seen my uncle used to have a Crown Vic. Sure. He didn't drive around like he thought he was a cop. Matter of fact, he didn't even know it was a cop. Often we used to say, Uncle Harry, you have a Crown Vic. You want to be a cop? He goes, what? Are they cop? It's either that. That's a possibility. But does it sound feasible? Or does it sound like someone that desperately wanted to be a cop? That he wanted to be a cop, he's carrying around a gun, and if it's not the other, the part where he just coincidentally had a Crown Vic, he purposely bought it to look like a cop. Now, we don't know what happened that night, and we never will, but we know four things amongst 100 others that we're going to learn during this proceeding. He wanted to be a cop, he's got a gun, he joined Town Watch, and he's driving around in a Crown Vic. Gun to your head, Jory. Gun to your child's head. Is that a sane person or someone that's got a chip on their shoulder?
Here's why I think he's guilty, which to me backs up everything you just said. All I needed to hear was when the shooting happened a year ago, the 911 call. Hi, I'm Town Watch. I see a suspicious person. Okay, police are on their way. Do not follow him. And what does he do? He follows him.
This is me and Martin talked about.
That's I needed to hear.
I got
to know that this guy wanted to get into some shit.
I got to interrupt you real quick because I hope you know this fact. I heard that he said, because to me, I agreed with you. I said, on that alone, cops get, look, I know there's not all cops aren't great either, but when cops have pepper spray, they have to take the pepper spray. So they know what they're doing to somebody.
They go to like a 12 to 16 week, right. Essentially a boot camp where they're in classroom half the time learning about
they
the law.
They get tasered, so they know when they taser somebody what that's doing.
They know what it feels like. Oh, that's taser's a great point. They have all these non-lethal weapons that they're using now, beanbag guns, tasers, pepper spray, whatever, so that lethal force is the last thing. And they're trained.
Okay, so here's
my
question.
How is this fucking Zimmerman guy trained?
Here's my question. So I thought, on that alone... You know, when you're sitting home, you're allowed to all taken into consideration. You go, I haven't seen everything, and you ask friends, hey, here's something I asked somebody, and I haven't gotten an answer yet. Whether it's true or not, I don't think it is. But at least if he lied, I understand. Someone said that he said in court that he did not, was not the person. In other words, he did back off, but then Trayvon Martin, am I saying his name right?
Trayvon, yeah.
Trayvon Martin came to him. Was that discussed? Because if that's the lie he made, then I sort of, if people believe it. But do you know whether that's true or not? Because there's an answer to this question, like whether what happened in court. Did they say Trey approached him, or did he approach Trey?
As far as what I understood, he approached Trayvon Martin.
If that's true, and we have to underline that 100 times, and no one ever negated that in court. Like if the whole time in court they go, no, he did pursue him. Then that's what I don't understand. And I know it's weird. We have a podcast. We should have found this out before we did it. But you know what? This is the way it happens. You get busy sometimes. And even though that story's in the news, you go, I haven't really watched every detail. Mm-hmm. So if, underline 100 times, if that is true. And by the way, I want to make myself really clear. Even if he said Trey approached him, I still don't believe it. But at least he made that lie. I could guess why the jurors thought that. But if he did approach him... I was with you for the last week going, they tell you not to. If you don't remember what it says in the handbook, again, you picture you're a lawyer. If you don't, and it's in the handbook in black ink, you do not approach people. I've done a lot of cop ride-alongs. I've always known that. They're not supposed to approach people. They don't approach people. If you forgot that it was in the book right here and have it up on the big screen, you might remember them telling him, do not approach him. So on that alone, guess what? You fucking lose. That's how important it is taking when you're on Town Watch and you fucking get it. That's the lesson you're going to learn, that we will never know what happened that night. But we know one thing for sure. Hey, we don't know, I would think, as a judge. We don't know if Trey shot you or you shot him or what happened. But we know one thing for sure, and it doesn't weigh good on you. You were told not to approach him for this reason.
And gun owners, my question is, why do you have – so you're scared? Do you want to use this gun? Are you hoping someday to use it?
Again, you got to really go out of your way to go there, obviously. And I err on all the side of basically having gun control. But obviously, I know there's sane people that own guns and aren't running around. That's what I mean. At what point do you go coincidence? Like, it sounds sarcastic to go Town Vic car. Not everybody that drives a town. What point do you go, not on any individual one, it's the four together. Just because he wanted to be a cop doesn't mean that he went out there and did anything wrong. Just because he wanted to be on Town Watch, there's probably some sane people on Town Watch. Sure. But where do you fucking, you know, want to...
But again, he wanted to play cowboy. You want
a Crown Vic, that doesn't show, that's like...
He called the cops, did his job. Your job as Town Watch is now over. Let the professionals come in and don't pursue this guy. And it's not. And Trayvon Martin didn't turn and run at him and, oh, I had no other choice. Bullshit. His story started to change after he got arrested and got lawyers that said, whoa, easy. Like, it's all bullshit. And it's I'm so tired of this. And I just can't even. The pro gun people, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. The NRA. is here. Let me ask this. What's the difference between?
Can you play? I don't mean to make a joke about this. Can you play a "God Bless America" behind him when he's talking? Seriously, I think it'll sound better.
Don't.
But you take. Don't.
What's the difference between the Boston Marathon terrorist attack? Right.
Oh wait, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. No, don't play this. So, what's the difference between what happened at the Boston Marathon?
Remember, this is the ending of the show.
And all of these school shootings, or this Trayvon, let's use the school shootings, like the one that happened at Santa Monica College, 10 blocks from where I live. What's the difference? I'll tell you one main difference. They're similar in that they're both acts of terrorism. They're both terrorize people and get people scared. The difference is the NRA is not lobbying to make it. Lobbying against laws that would make it difficult for terrorists to get weapons. But the NRA is lobbying against laws that would make it harder for people to get weapons. Oh, only bad people. Like, I've heard all the NRA talking points. Anyone who's going to email me who you're pro-gun, I've heard all of your arguments. None of them hold up in logic, which means I will not change my mind. So just save yourself that, okay? You will not change my mind because I'm fucking sick of hearing your bullshit. None of them hold up, and this is what drives me absolutely crazy. The NRA basically supports domestic terrorism and domestic war profiteering.
If you're, I don't follow. We get into these areas on the show where I don't follow it, but I smell you're probably dead right as far as you. You're not. I don't think you're pigheaded. There's a difference between being pigheaded and that once in a while, as a civilized society, we have to not agree to disagree. In other words, we would not have a math system if everyone went, well, you think 2 + 2 = 4, I think 2 + 2 = 5, and everybody. No, at one point you have to go. If somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, you don't agree to disagree. That's part of evolving. And on some things, we come together and we agree that there's a right and a wrong. And then there's a shit ton of stuff that you get to have your own opinion. But we're civilized because once in a while we go, no, the world is not, you know,
not flat.
Yeah, that. So,
and
so,
there's people who believe
is that pigheaded. Is that pigheaded to think the world is not flat? No. At one point we go, no, there are some things. And I think I'm smelling that you're right. Whenever I hear people go back to back, I have to step back and go, it sounds like your position here is the right one. And the other people, it's like, no, you don't have to meet in the middle. Somebody can be right.
I'm not meeting in the middle on this one.
Right. And by the way, I know there's people right now that are probably frustrated at that. But by the way, I don't.
We're all going to die someday.
One high person talking to a not high person about politics and gun control. That's my fear, that I don't want to get too deep into this because for me, because there's nothing worse than hearing a high person talk about, you know, losing. It's bad enough doing bits.
And I know probably if there's a pro-gun person listening to this, I'm probably going to get a death threat because that's how crazy many of them are. Not all, but I will get a death threat.
Just so I can clarify,
if I was a right winger,
you're not opposed to guns completely.
No,
right.
But I mean, there's so many things wrong with it. The Constitution was written when we had muskets. You know what I mean? And the whole thing.
My mom's got a nice musket, if you know what I mean.
Oh, she collects Civil War weapons?
No, I just mean she's got, like, you know, my mom. First of all, it's gross now that I have to keep repeating it. It's just a side thing. My mom's got a nice muffin.
Oh, she cooks. She mom's like a baker.
A muffet. What was it?
A musket.
Musket. I forgot the word. Who would think we could take that crazy gun talk and turn it into a fun bit? Don't be sorry.
No, I get very diatribe on this. We call them Gramgents on Comedy Filmers.
That's why I wrote this song. 2, 3, 4, hit it.
I got a gram.
Maybe it should be more with hits. What do you call them?
Gramgents.
I've got something for you. It's called a gram. What?
Like a tangent with gram. Gramgent.
It's a Gramgent. It's called a Gramgent. Doesn't seem loud as it usually is. What's wrong?
Let's turn him up.
You got to give it a one hit. You ready? Da da doo doo. Luck be ba ba boo boo boo. That's better.
Thank you. That's all I asked for is a little reverb.
All right, listen. We got to take a break. That's what happens. You're getting all silly, and then you go down a path, and you're getting. But you know what? Let me tell you something. That conversation, I'm going to break it down. That'll make me feel comfortable to go to break part two, and then we're going to finish. You good?
Yeah.
Is that
if somebody agrees with you, which a lot of people do, obviously, It's cathartic to hear it, maybe put in a different way or hear. Look, some weeks I think we take things and people feel already, they agree, you're preaching to the choir. Some weeks I don't feel I do it justice. It's like you start talking about something, everyone's talking about it. Sometimes you hit it from a different angle or clarity and you make a point in a certain way that's fucking cathartic. So it either has someone feeling great right now, that's okay. And then the people that don't agree, they're like, no, I was there with Graham, I could. But you're not.
You're not. And if you have a gun,
that's why I want to invite
you kill someone, are you going to be okay with that?
Listen, yes, I am.
If they're trying to steal my stuff, take my stuff. I know six people that were mugged at gunpoint. You know what they did? They handed over their wallets and it was over.
Right. Oh, yeah, most of the time.
If they would have had a gun.
First of all, what if you had a gun? Like I think Rory said this, or James Adomian. If someone does break into your house, usually, you know, you by the time you get your gun, they're standing over you.
Right.
If they're breaking
in. Well, these people that have guns, like, so.
Well, you could hear somebody outside.
It's a false sense
of
security.
Let's end nice.
All right.
Let's end nice, and let's end. Try to look at it from their perspective.
No, I've heard.
I'm kidding.
I'm done.
They hear something.
They've ruined this country. The far right is ruining this country. I don't care what your opinion is anymore. Go fuck yourself. I've listened to it. It's wrong. You're crazy, evil, and now you have bloodlust.
Are you what you're talking about? You're probably right on. No, I'm going to stop saying you're probably right because you're definitely right. You're definitely right. You're listening. No, guys. Don't show disrespect. All right, hold on. Fade it out. So we're going to end. So I was going to say that's where we're at. Oh, part two is going to be fun.
It's going to be good business.
This is part one of the Todd Glass Show. Oy, oy, oy. We're fine. The second part's a little shorter this week, but we wanted to do two parts. I'm going to Montreal for the comedy festival.
Oh, yeah?
Part two, yes. I get invited every 7 years. No, I have actually loved that. Love going to, you know, hanging out with comedians. It's
comedy festivals are a blast.
Doesn't
it's
get
like
any
the LA Podcast Festival that you will be performing in October 4th through the 6th. Go to LAPodFest.com.
And I'm telling you what I'm doing this year. It is an infomercial for the podcast festival because it should be. I am sleeping over.
Nice.
First of all, I did ask you if we could do mine at night this year. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But no matter what, I'm sleeping over. Because when you're hanging out with everyone at the end of the night, you don't have to drive home. You're in a different mood.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Get a room. I'm going to get everybody on the show their own room. You find out we're all sharing a room. Todd's got 7 rollaways.
Guys are sleeping standing up like vampires.
No, not only did I not buy everybody a room, people thought, no, they're standing sleeping up because Todd doesn't want
them
to make a mess.
There's two guys sleeping standing up in a closet. They're wearing one robe. That's what they're sleeping in, one robe.
Todd said you'll stay warm.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that sounds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Todd Glass Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in the United States of America. We're the best country you could live in. And we're gone. This is the end of part one. The United States of America.
I don't know. Have you ever been to Australia?
I heard it's pretty nice. You know what? Stop the music. Australia's nice, too. Stop the music abruptly. Nice. That's the end of part one. Part two will be right back.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.